Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I just want to let you know now that this sermon is for me. This sermon is for me. You don't have to wonder, who is he talking about? I'm telling you now, I'm talking about me. This sermon is for me. Amen. You all are just listening. Glory be to God. So we're going to talk about pride. Pride. Yeah, this sermon is for me. You're just listening in. Pride is the antithesis. It's the opposite. Or it is in opposition to humility. Amen. Pride is a beast. Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Who is this sermon for? You don't have to wonder. I wonder what he's talking about. Yeah, talking about himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Bless the name of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self," take note of that, "lovers of money, boastful," take note of that, "arrogant," take note of that, skip down to verse 4, "treacherous, reckless, and conceited." Now listen to what is going to dominate the last days. The characteristic is that of self-centeredness, pride. They're going to be lovers of self, boastful, arrogant, and conceited. My notes say the world is full of self-lovers, self-satisfiers, self-promoters. We live in a world that exalts self-love, self-satisfaction, self-promotion. At the root of all the selfishness, I believe, is pride. Pride is cherished. Pride is encouraged. Pride is even exalted in today's society. It is viewed as an exalted virtue. Wow. So we have to be careful. At least I know I need to. Let's go with a working definition of pride. Hold on 1 second. So a definition of it, I'm going to go through it and then we'll go through the, like give synonyms to some of the key words. So the general definition of pride, probably going to give several, but pride is to have inordinate, which means excessive, and unreasonable self-esteem. Unreasonable is irrational and extreme self-esteem, self-value, self-appreciation, self-cherishing and admiring, honoring, holding high, and holding yourself in high regard. That is, pride should have inordinate and unreasonable self-esteem. Usually resulting in disrespectful, foul, rude, and sometimes vulgar treatment of others. Ouch. It's not cute. Again, pride is to have inordinate and unreasonable self-esteem, usually resulting in disrespectful, foul, rude, and sometimes vulgar treatment of others. That's hard, isn't it? Harsh. You can see why it's such a sin, and probably it's most theologians believe, or some, quite a few believe, that it's at the root of all sin. Let me read on. Pride is to have an excessively favorable opinion of one's own talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance from others, detachment from others, and often in contempt of others. Read it again. Pride is to have an excessively favorable opinion of one's own talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance from others, detachment from others, and often in contempt of others. To have a noble self-esteem springing from a consciousness of worth. That's why, you know, when you're a pastor, or when you are like someone who's, you know, up and you're helping people and you get all these accolades, and sometimes you just get a, you know, you just, I'm just recognizing, you just sometimes you just don't know what they're doing to you, because it's so much, and it's so slick, and you need the Lord to expose such a beast. The next note is, pride is a brute beast that lives in the heart of man. I believe, I will say arguably, and I won't say with gavel-dropping certainty, but I believe strongly it is the root of all sin. It is the foundation upon which the building of sin rests. From pride comes all of the evil that men think, say, and do. It may be argued, but I would say I believe in. From pride comes all of the evil that men think, say, and do. I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that that was at the root of Satan's sin. Much, if not all, of this pride is motivated by the desire of men and women either to serve themselves or to protect their place at the center of their existence. Ouch. Again, much, if not all, of this pride is motivated by the desire of men and women either to serve themselves or to protect their place at the center of their existence. Pride manifests itself by praising others. Ooh. Doesn't seem like pride at all. But it is so slick. You have to look in your heart. I try to praise and uplift people all the time. I'm wondering, okay, I need to really check my behind me doing that, because I just do it as a habit, really. But wow. Pride manifests itself by praising others. Pride manifests by praising ourselves and adoring others and ourselves. So you have to look at your heart whenever you're doing any of that. Pride adores itself. Pride attempts to appear before others in a superior light to what they are. Try to lift yourselves over and above others. Pride manifests itself by being contemptible and slanderous of others. Pride is envious at the excellencies others possess. Pride is anxious to gain applause. Pride distresses and rages when slighted. A prideful person is impatient of contradiction. Prideful person is in opposition to God himself. Pride praises self, adores self, attempts to appear before others in a superior light, can be contemptuous, slanderous, envious at the excellencies others possess. They're anxious to gain applause, distressed and raged when slighted, impatient of contradiction, and is opposed to God himself. Never forget April Lou Caldwell read the poem, The Dark Guest Within. Is that the name of it?
It's a prayer.
Yeah, the prayer. The Dark Guest Within. What an evil brute beast that lives in our flesh. Pride causes people to have a low estimate of the ability and worth of others, and therefore to treat them with either contempt or cruelty. Again, pride causes people to have a low estimate of the ability and worth of others, and therefore to treat them with either contempt or cruelty. It's rough, isn't it? Rough. A proud person is usually wrapped up in their own importance. And when they speak, it is to make their audience feel their inferiority. Wow. They're wrapped up in their own importance. And make the audience feel their inferiority. The nature of pride. Not good. And this is what makes it so scary. We're going to synonym these words. Let's just say them first. So this is it. This is the whole scariest part. That's why you can never walk around and say, I don't have no pride. Listen to these characteristics. Sinister, sneaky, treacherous, deceitful, unsearchable, I'll explain in a minute, in the way it operates. And I'm going to add the word chameleon, because it disguises itself as this, but in actuality, it's pride. Pride is scary. It's a beast. Pride go before destruction. Pride is sinister. Let's go over that. Sinister. Meaning it is evil, threatening, ominous, menacing. Evil, threatening, ominous, menacing. That's just sinister. The first word. It's a threat. It's evil. It's menacing. Always lurking. Second, pride is sneaky. Sly. See, not obvious. Slick. Sly. Devious. Tricky. Shifty. guileful. That's just two words, sinister and sneaky. It is also treacherous, unsound, false, unstable, traitorous, instate. Unsound, false, unstable, traitorous. Treacherous. Nature pride is sinister, sneaky, treacherous. Deceitful. That's the next one. Cunning, cheating, lying, deceiving, and devious. Cunning, cheating, lying, deceiving, and devious. I'm shook, because it has to be the Lord on our side to tell us that there's pride and the levels to which we have it, because we'll be fooled all day, every day, like I was. It's devious, it's deceitful, it's slick, it's sly, it's sinister, it's sneaky, treacherous. And here's the word, unsearchable, meaning that its ways are hidden, mysterious, at times unfathomable, meaning not understood. Unsearchable, hidden, mysterious, unfathomable, meaning not understood. What's unsearchable and what's hidden, mysterious, and unfathomable, not understood in the way it operates? In the way it operates. So I'm going to read the whole sentence. The nature of pride is sinister, sneaky, treacherous, deceitful, and unsearchable in the way it operates. Lord God, we need you. I need you. The cure is simple. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be led moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by the Holy Spirit. Led, influenced, dominated, and controlled. Yes, we need that. I see why that command is there. We need it. I need it. Because this beast is horrible. It seems to worm its way into everything. Even the purest actions of believers, Christians, real, genuine children of God, are deeply affected by pride. More than likely, even telling you that this message is for me is probably God's pride in it. Listen to the next note. Indeed, it is possible to be proud of one's confession of sin and unworthiness. Lord, have mercy. So about even telling you that this was for me was probably got pride in it too. That wasn't my intent, but it is so sneaky and slicky and chameleon-like. Indeed, it is possible to be proud of one's confessions of sin and unworthiness, or secretly to congratulate oneself on one's brokenness. Wow. You tell us, I'm broken. That's a good thing. But it's possible to be proud even in that. Father God, help us to get it. Help me to get it. Even in one's confession of sin. Just need to say that again. You can, if you don't, you may not even know. Remember, the ways are, and ways operate is beyond, we need the Holy Ghost. So you tell us when you're broken, and you think, hey, that's a good thing. Could be that it was good, but it also could be that it was prideful. It has spread itself universally in all nations among all people. No, white people aren't more evil than black people for enslaving. No. No, all Germans aren't more evil. No, it's sin. You go African, black, white, red, brown. Everybody is sinful. All have sinned. Pride is universal. It does not discriminate. It has infected all hearts of all classes, of all ethnicities and cultures and peoples.
I found this on the web.
Pride is at the root of discontent, ingratitude, covetousness, even extravagance, bigotry, war, persecution, etc. Pride is at the root of it. As I said before, so say I now again, I believe that pride is connected with every evil perpetrated, either in approximate, which means a close or a remote sense, whether it's an immediate thing or even a far off thing. Pride, I believe, is connected with all of that. Pride dulls our sense of appreciation for the kindness and mercy of God. It negates continual thankfulness. Yes. Good it out, Father. Pride darkens our hearts. I don't know who said it, but someone once said, listen to this, that he would rather be hanged and his body thrown into a swamp than that anyone should be allowed to look into his heart. To say something like that is to understand how dark and ugly pride is. Did you get that? I'd rather that you physically hang me and just discard my body like trash into the swamp than for you to look into my heart and see that beast called pride. And my son often calls the saints of God, beloved, it's no wonder that the word of God sees pride not as a virtue, but as a wicked and very ugly sin. As a pastor, I'm so grateful that the Lord has exposed this in my heart. That means you got a better pastor coming around on the horizon. Even that may be saved with pride. I don't know. I'm trying to give God the glory. I really am, Father. I really am. For real. Yes, my is right. But I'd like to think that was said in his glory that you got a better pastor coming on the horizon. It's no wonder the word of God sees pride not as a virtue like the world does, but as a very ugly sin. In a nutshell, pride is rebellion against God, period. It is pride that seeks to dethrone God. and replace him with self. That's exactly what Satan wanted to do. It's pride that seeks to dethrone God and replace him with self. Pride is self-admiration in the heart. That's why it's so insidious, because that heart is deceitful above all. And I know we're saved, and we've created him a new heart has been created in us, but we still have flesh. Apostle Paul said, in me, comma, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Well, pride is in that flesh, which we still must contend with. So over there is where that dark guest, that brute beast exists. Pride is self-admiration in the heart, meaning pride attributes to self the honor and glory due to God alone. I want to say that again. Pride is self-admiration in the heart, meaning that pride attributes to self the honor and glory due to God and God alone. Remember, he would have no flesh glory in his presence, but pride seeks and attempts to do just that. Proud persons do not think it necessary to ask forgiveness because they do not perceive, let alone admit, their sinful condition. Father God, we beg you this day, expose just some of the prideful thinking and acts in our lives. Because if you did all of it, we might commit suicide. It looks so horrible. But expose some of it to us today. And when your spirit speaks to us, we will agree. And our answer will be yes, Lord, yes, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. In Jesus' name. Let's look at, I have here in my little heading here, biblical definitions of pride in a nutshell. So we're going to kind of like give up that the Word of God kind of define this too. So let's go first to Romans chapter 1. I won't be before you long. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 19. Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the whipping shed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Romans 1:19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. That's the them is the verse in the verse 18, those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, look at this, or give thanks. They became futile, empty, worthless, vain in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. First aspect of biblical definition of pride is that it is ungrateful and unthankful to God. Even though they knew God, they refused to give him thanks. Instead, they chose to cherish and exalt themselves. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. So pride is unthankful, ungrateful, even though they know God. Romans 12, look at verse 3. Another aspect of pride. Romans 12, verse 3. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Stand on my toes until they are pulverized into powder. For your glory. to be conformed to the image of your Son. Verse 3, Romans 12, 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, here's a second aspect of pride, or another one, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. That's what pride does. Pride is ungrateful. Pride thinks more highly of them of the, themselves than they ought to think. The cure is to follow the next command, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Mm-hmm. Everything I have, everything I do comes from God. Let's look at one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And thank you, Word of Life, for just the excessive prayers in between the verses and statements. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, not even that you're standing, you just are thinking you're standing. That's in the heart. Take heed that he does not fall. The third aspect of it is pride. A proud person thinks that they are independent, and that their status and their station and their stability is due to them. So the first thing, they knew God, they didn't give thanks, it is ungrateful. They think more of themselves than they ought to, and they think that they can be their own shepherd, take care of their own selves. Think he stands, take heed lest he falls. Let's look at pride in action. It's really ugly. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, isn't that the love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I think the pastor's gone sideways here. He's got us turning to the love chapter, and he says, look at pride in action. Bear with me. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love is the antithesis of pride. So what we're going to do is put in pride, and then we're going to find out exactly how pride behaves. Pride is impatient. Pride is unkind and is jealous. Pride brags and is arrogant. Pride acts unbecomingly. Pride seeks its own. Pride is always provoked. Pride takes into account every wrong suffered. Do you see that? That's pride in action. And that's something that the Word of God says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He didn't say a lack of love goeth before destruction, but he said pride destroys. And it's a silent destroyer. Don't even know it. Thank God. If there ever is a time I'm thank God for being saved, and having the Holy Ghost, God himself, living on inside of me, it's today. It's yesterday and Friday. I need you more than I know sometimes. Take me back to first love. Need you. One of those saints, I need you every hour. Remember that song, Miss Palmer? Yeah. Miss Phyllis, I remember that old song. So I need you every hour. I need you. I need you. I need you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad. All these great promises of the mighty word of God, I just have a whole new electric meaning. Because I need that comforter to show me me. And I've been praying. He answered it in a mighty way too. Show me me as you see me. Not as I see me. We walk around with perpetually rose-colored glasses when viewing ourselves. What's that LASIK surgery where they sewed the eyeball? They sewed on it. We did our own surgery. Put rose-colored LASIK stuff on our eyes to see us permanently as roses and whistles and skittles. And God is ripping off those lenses and putting on his glasses. His glasses got the big band-aid in the middle taped together. They big and black. The temples are too long hanging out here. You're looking real goofy like Brother Do Wrong. And you're like, yeah, but you're doing right. But you're seeing yourself how I need you to see me. Yes. Again, you're there. Read it again. Pride is impatient. Pride is unkind. Pride is jealous. Pride brags. Pride is arrogant. Pride acts unbecomingly. Pride seeks its own. Pride is provoked. Pride does take into account every suffered wrong. In other words, they hold grudges. A prideful person holds grudges. Let's look at a scriptural example of pride. Second Chronicles 26, verse 16. Second Chronicles 26. Now, before we read this, beginning verse 16, very few, I guess, ministers and pastors and teachers go here per se. I mean, I know they do, because we generally know, you generally hear like about this king in this fashion. You don't turn to just listen. Isaiah 6 and 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. That's when you hear about King Uzziah, as connected to the vision of the holiness of God through the great prophet Isaiah. But do you know what happened to Uzziah in the meantime? That's what we're going to read here. Verse 16. But when he became strong, Uzziah, his heart was so proud that he, King Uzziah, acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest, entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant, brave men. They opposed Uzziah the king, and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. Remember, we just said our pride is when there's conflict. We just read that. He was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, because the altar, beside rather, the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, King Uzziah, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the lands. King Uzziah lost it. Pride was in his heart. Lord, have mercy on me. But remember, one sin is worth an eternity in hell. He killed King Uzziah. Even after King Uzziah was warned by the priest, 80 priests, 81 actually, because they brought on long 8, I think if I understand that. Hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. That's our job. Like, came enraged. Wow, that's what pride does. You just lose sense. I have here in my notes, in conclusion, the proud person offends against God by self-exaltation. The proud person offends against other people by self-preoccupation. And a proud person offends against the self by self-deception. So against God by self-exaltation, against people by self-preoccupation, because King Uzziah was so preoccupied with himself that he shunned all clear information. I'm quite sure you knew that he's not supposed to be performing the role of the priests. But pride was there. He was blind, couldn't see clearly. I embarrassingly so have been there. You offend God by self-exaltation, you offend other people by self-preoccupation, and you offend against even yourself by self-deception, because you are not all that you are. You're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You're thinking you're standing when you're not standing, and you do not, are you ungrateful towards God, you would really exalt yourself over and above God. Father, show us some of the pride, prideful acts, thoughts, intentions. It is truly a dark, brute guest that lives within our flesh. It is insidious. It is, I don't know if this is a word, but it's chameleonic. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. The Father, this ain't dramatics. This is realization. This is realization. I need you every hour, all the time. With a threat like that in my being, amongst my members, help me to never relax. That I know that was done from a pure motive, because more than likely it was not. You're just merciful and accept it anyway. Let us be broken and contrite before you. Forgive us of our acts of pride, thoughts of pride, deeds of pride, words of pride. Please forgive us. And help us be more sensitive to the alarms and the bells and the whistles when they go off from the Holy Ghost, saying, that's prideful. We'll hear and we will respond. And as the old song says, let the church say amen, because God has spoken. So let the church say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have that song, that'd be fine. Let the church say amen.